Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israeli forces working to explain the deadly airstrike in Rafah over the weekend targeting Hamas. The Hamas-run health ministry says 50 displaced Palestinians died in that strike that hit a nearby refugee camp. IDF Lieutenant Colonel Nadav Shoshani tells ABC News weapons stored nearby could also have ignited.
Our ammunition alone was not enough to start a fire the size that broke out. We are checking the option that it's because of ammunition that was in the area, Hamas ammunition, that we were not aware of before the strike.
The UN Security Council will hold an emergency session today discussing that strike and renewed calls to recognize the state of Palestine. Closing arguments taking place today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. Defense attorneys wrapped up their side. Prosecutors are up next after the lunch recess. T-Mobile moving to buy U.S. Cellular's wireless and spectrum assets. That deal worth an estimated $4.4 billion. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is joining 23 other states in supporting proposed new rules to support pregnant and postpartum workers. The Pregnant Workers Fairness Act would require accommodations for conditions related to pregnancy, including abortion. Attorney General Josh Call says workers should not have to choose between their health and their jobs. Federal transportation leaders say they're looking into adding more new passenger train service in Wisconsin. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says people in Wisconsin want to take the train.
There's no reason why Americans should settle for less in terms of our quality and reliability of passenger rail compared to any other country. That's what this is really about.
Buttigieg speaking with WYSN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Hayward's annual Muskie Festival has received a $25,000 prize for being a finalist in the Senex Hometown Throwdown. The competition is meant to highlight local small-town festivals that give back to their community. Muskie Fest was the runner-up in the competition, finishing behind Norborn, Missouri's Soybean Festival, which earned their event a $100,000 prize. Muskie Fest is in its 74th year and is scheduled for late June. More information on the event is available on their website. The Bong Veterans Historical Center has announced that a preservation group has found Richard Bong's P-38 fighter plane. According to a Fox 21 report, a nonprofit World War II historical preservation group called Pacific Rex discovered the wrecked plane in Papua New Guinea. Officials say the team found the plane's red-painted wingtips sticking out from a field and confirmed it was the correct plane with its serial number. The plane, called Marge, crashed when being flown by another pilot in 1944. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pack is back to practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers resume off-season OTA practices. Matt LaFleur asked about defensive back Eric Stokes recovering from that severe leg and foot injury from two seasons ago.
What this offseason has afforded him was an opportunity to really train. Just when you look at him physically, his body looks different. Certainly he's hitting some very fast speeds out there on practice. Obviously we monitor all that, and I can tell mentally he feels like he's in a great place.
NBA playoffs, the Celtics beat the Pacers 105-102 to complete a four-game sweep and now head to the finals. Baseball game two of the Brewers four-game series against the Cubs continues tonight at AmFam Field. The Brewers won yesterday 5-1. Craig Counsell asked, when did he first consider leaving Milwaukee?
You know, when frankly, David Stearns leaving made you think about it a lot. I don't know how it couldn't, right?
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Yet again, another round of some scattered showers and some thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon and into the evening hours. Some could put down some pea-sized hail. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with highs in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll get organized with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tom. Yes, I can say my own name. Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, better than the host, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Tuesday, May 28th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome in hour number 2 of the big program. Right there, Mr. Zommers, when you try to read 3 things at once, that's what comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have that problem if I just try to read one thing at once sometimes.
I just gotta slow down, you know, and focus on one thing at a time. My name being one of them. It's right on the name of the show, as it turns out, right on the letterhead.
The top of it, Bob.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. Thank you to Luke Mathers. Always great to have him on a Tuesday for a Tuesday tangent. He'll be back next Tuesday. Coming up at the bottom of the hour today, or just shortly thereafter at 1:33-ish, Jeremy Lyon, administrator at the Department of Veterans Affairs for the Division of Veterans Benefits, had a little snafu with some of the technology on the show yesterday, as happens, and so we did not get to hear that complete interview. We kind of prepared that for a special Memorial Day show, but we're going to play that interview in full at just after the bottom of the hour. I hope you stick around for that. Jeremy himself, a decorated veteran, is now the administrator, as we said, Department of Veterans Affairs. And part of the role is to help our special Gold Star families in Wisconsin, those who have lost a loved one in active duty. He also oversees the veterans cemeteries in Wisconsin. Lots of coverage of the veteran cemetery, Arlington, Virginia, Arlington National Cemetery, as is proper. I've been there a number of times. Very, very powerful. But we also have, I believe, 3 veteran cemeteries in the state of Wisconsin, and Jeremy helps oversee those. And we'll talk and give a little bit of the history of those and of Memorial Day proper. So going to have that interview with Jeremy Lyon just after the bottom of the hour. Hopefully you will stick around for that as well. A couple of notes here I want to make just to literally people in passing here. The great Bill Walton, basketball player, and went on for a storied broadcasting career, particularly with ABC, ESPN, passed away over the weekend, 71 years old, and had been battling cancer for some time, but had really not talked about it a lot, had not been on the news. It was a surprise for me to see it come across the wires.
Over
the weekend. And never met him, but always seemed, and for everything I read, all these tributes, what you saw on television is pretty much what you got in person, according to those people that knew him. Just gregarious, larger than life, positive, always trying to find the positivity in things. And, you know, those are the kind of people you want to surround yourself with. And so our thoughts and prayers are going to the family of Bill Walton over the weekend. Certainly left a big impact on basketball. What a world championship in the NBA. Great fan of his beloved Pac-12, now defunct Pac-12 out there, UCLA in particular. So just a great life, a great career, gone too soon at 71, but a person that seemed like somebody you want to be around.
Absolutely. And he was a big Deadhead, spent a lot of time touring with, or not touring with the Grateful Dead, but going along to their tours. Mm. And he embodies all the positive aspects of being a Deadhead, like that eternal positivity and just wanting to grow a community.
Right. No, absolutely. And wore those tie-dye t-shirts a lot. I saw, I saw some great clips over the weekend and just a guy who liked to have fun. And I think that's what you need. Also, in passing over the weekend, I think probably more of a surprise over the weekend was PGA golfer Grayson Murray, who passed away way too young at the age of 30, and his family confirming over the weekend that he died by suicide. And here's a guy in Grayson Murray who was transparent about his struggles, who tried to be as best he could, was an advocate for being transparent with mental health issues. And it looked like things had turned around for him. And then, unfortunately, he dies by suicide. His family's been transparent and still trying to reach out and help others in their own time of tragedy. I want to play a clip. This is from Grayson Murray, and this is from back in January of this year. He had just won his second PGA Tour event, the Sony Open in Hawaii. And during the press conference after the tournament, instead of letting this guy celebrate, and instead of just asking him about golf and you know, all the happiness, the press wanted to talk only about his struggles, his addiction that he'd been open with. And to his credit, instead of Grayson Murray, instead of saying, you know what, I'm not here to talk about that, let's talk about golf. Instead of that, he was enormously gracious and transparent. And I hope in playing this, it may affect or touch one person. And that's all that matters to me right now. This is Grayson Murray from this January after he'd won his second PGA Tour event.
Yes, I would drink during tournament weeks. It was my outlet. I thought I was invincible coming out here as a 22-year-old, winning as a rookie. Played 3 days hungover when I won. Best thing and worst thing that ever happened to me was winning my rookie year, but also feeling like I was invincible. And it took me a long time to get to this point. That was 7 years ago, over 7 years ago. And I'm a different man now. And I would not be in this position right now today if I didn't put that drink down 8 months ago. Yeah, I did go to rehab for a month, and it was by choice. It was time, and the Lord was looking out for me then, and he's definitely looking out for me now. And my story's not finished. I think it's just beginning, and I hope I can inspire a lot of people going forward that have their own issues. It just goes back to my life is so good right now. I wouldn't trade anything. You know, I have a beautiful fiance. I have beautiful parents. I have beautiful nephews, siblings. You know, everyone in my life right now who is close to me, who has been through the struggles with me. It's all a team effort. And, I'm not sitting here. I am sitting here alone, but it's all of them are part of this. And, I think this is just the start of something really special. I hope. I'm so close to my parents. There were a couple other close friends that have seen me pretty much at my lowest. And, there were days where I didn't want to get out of bed. I just thought I was a failure. I always looked at myself as a failure. I thought I had a lot of talent that was just a waste of talent. And, it was a bad place, but like I said, you have to have courage. You have to have the willingness to keep going. And lo and behold, that's what I did. And, you know, I'm here and I'm so blessed and I'm thankful. I obviously struggle with anxiety. I struggle with depression. That stemmed a lot from the alcohol use. I struggle with comparing myself to others. You know, self-esteem. There's a lot of issues that I call them issues. I think they're common issues that we all endure. And I got tired of trying to fight it alone. And I asked for help one day, and that's when my life changed. It is. I think you got to give yourself grace. We all make mistakes. I don't think anyone in this room has gone life without a mistake. You know, you gotta let go of the regrets. You gotta let go of the people that you've, you know, have, let down. You gotta say you're sorry and move on. And, you know, it's on them if they don't accept the apology. Going forward, I just really want to, make everyone happy and do the right things.
That was professional golfer Grayson Murray after he had won the Sony Open, his second PGA Tour event, back this past January, who died by suicide this past weekend. So much there that we don't have necessarily time to go into today. I want to talk about later in the week. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow, Thursday. We'll figure it out here. Have a large segment I want to do this week because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think it's so important to talk about these things openly. And that's where I give Grayson Murray so much credit at a time when he would have liked, I'm sure, to have talked more about winning his second PGA Tour event back in January. But the press kept asking these questions about his past, his mental health, his addiction. And instead of being bitter, and instead of pushing back, you heard there in the compilation of all of his answers, or many of his answers, nothing but openness and graciousness and transparency. And I hope that perhaps one person today heard that and could relate to something that Grayson Murray said. And I hope that it comes through, because what I got out of Grayson Murray's comments from January is talking about what a low point he had been, and he had, with the help of, by reaching out and just saying, I need help. That's the first, I need help. And had this network of his parents, first and foremost, and his family and his friends, and apparently his fiance, and they had helped him get to a point of sobriety, and had helped him get to a point where he could shine through with his natural gifts and talents of being a professional golfer, and had then achieved success in winning his second PGA Tour event. That by asking for help, there is recovery, there is a better life ahead. None of us know what happened over the weekend to lead to his death at this time, but we know that in his transparency, hopefully I'm sure he did touch the lives of others. And I want to make sure we get this out again, the crisis line. And such a huge credit to Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin for making this happen. The crisis helpline for anyone who is even, you know, even if you just have a thought of suicide, even if you just need someone to talk to, it's not strictly for, hey, I'm on the verge of committing suicide. If you need someone to talk to, the number is simply 988. Simply pick up your phone, your mobile phone, your home phone, 988, and just push 1, the first choice there. It's something that's extraordinarily important, and we'll talk about more about Mental Health Awareness Month later on this week in May. We're going to come back, talk about our Gold Star families, and then our interview with Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs at the bottom of the hour. It's the Todd Elbow Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Everybody Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like be the first person picked. And so
yes, getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's the 28th of May, 2024, Tuesday, 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Before I go any further, a couple of birthdays, Mr. Zummers, I want to give shout-outs to. My good friend, Carrie Anderson Pink, who I've known since high school, and she and her lovely husband, Bill, live down in Milwaukee. Just saw him a couple of months back down there. Carrie, celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday, Carrie.
Happy birthday.
And also a friend who's like a brother to me out in beautiful Los Angeles, California, Paco Valle. Francisco, but we call him Paco. Happy birthday, Paco. Here's a guy, Paco Valle, who, is one of the most resilient, inspirational people I know, who immigrated here from El Salvador and went through an awful lot, is a naturalized citizen, and he started from nothing, a sign business. He started as an assistant to a window tinter in Los Angeles, I believe on Wilshire Boulevard, in an old abandoned kind of car wash lot, and was almost self-taught. And then after a little while said, well, I can open up my own one of these, and started his own business like that. And he built it into a national sign business where he's putting up signs all over the United States. And one time I was out there visiting, and I was riding down, went down to San Diego, and I said, Paco, what makes you successful where other people fail? And he said, almost without hesitation, he said, it's easy, Todd. Service. When people call me at 4:45 and ask me if I'm still open, I say, sure. When people ask me, hey, can you do this at night? I say, sure. When people ask me, can you do I got a tight window here. Can you do this? I say, sure. And he offers this exceptional service just dedicated to his customers. And he does it all with a smile and has been battling cancer here over the last year and a half and has largely beat it. And I think largely due to his positivity. So a shout out to happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
To Paco Valle, one of my personal heroes. So just got to see him. He was in town for his niece's UW graduation here a couple of weeks ago. He looks fantastic.
Awesome. I'm very glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour after the break here, we're going to talk to Jeremy Lyon, Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, Division of Veterans Benefits, and going to talk to him in part about Wisconsin's Gold Star families. Now, if you're not familiar with the term, you've heard it, and you're not quite sure, it's probably associated with veterans. And you're right. So many people, if they're a Blue Star family and they have a star in their window at home or their business, it means that a loved one, a family member of theirs, is an active duty military. If that star tragically changes to a Gold Star, that means that that individual and that family has been killed while at action. And to me, these are true American heroes, people who have given their all for us. And I came upon, and those who know me know that the University of Wisconsin-Madison Memorial Union, particularly the terrace, is probably my favorite place to hang out in Madison, because you got the terrace, you got the lake right there, the multicolored chairs, the brats, the spotted cow, the sailboats, great people watching, Babcock Hall ice cream. It's just, it's to me, it is Madison. And I knew it, but until I started for our show yesterday, until I really started researching it, I didn't realize to what extent that it's named Memorial Union as, at first, a memorial to all of the UW graduates or students since the Civil War who were killed in battle. And up on the third floor, and I posted this on our socials for the Todd Hubbell Show on Twitter and Facebook, there is a beautiful wood and electronic kiosk for the Gold Star Honor Roll Project. And it was a gift from some of the alumni in conjunction with the State Historical Society. And in there, you will find every UW-Madison student from the Civil War until the present who was killed in action. And I want to just read you, because, again, we had a couple of technical difficulties with the show that was pre-recorded yesterday. I want to bring you just one and give you an example of what you could find at this project at UW-Madison. This is the last or latest member of Wisconsin's Gold Star family at UW-Madison. From the Syria and Iraq war conflicts, veteran's name, Kevin Michael Christ, K-R-Y-S-T. He was in the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing, Marine Aircraft Group 39, Marine Light Attack Helicopter Squadron 267. Hometown, West Bend, Wisconsin. Born on September 17th, 1979. Died December 18th, 2006. He is buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Just a little bit from this biography here from Captain Christ. Captain Christ studied kinesiology at UW-Madison. He joined the Marine Corps while in his sophomore year at UW-Madison, completing the officer candidate program upon graduation. He attended 2 basic training sessions in Quantico, Virginia during the summers following his sophomore and junior years before graduating with the UW-Madison class of 2001. After commissioned as an officer, Captain Christ completed officer candidate school at Quantico, where he was awarded a pilot contract. After, he trained in Pensacola for his pilot's license and earned the Commandant's Award for Excellence, choosing to fly Cobra helicopters. After additional training in San Diego and Miramar, he received the title of captain in October 2005 and deployed to Iraq twice. Captain Christ was very proud to serve his country in the Marine Corps and worked diligently to protect his Marines while piloting his Cobra helicopter. During his second deployment, Captain Christ was killed December 18, 2006, while serving in Iraq at Camp Korea, protecting his Marines. He left behind a fiancée, his parents, 1 sister, and 4 brothers. Captain Christ's mother, Liz Christ, said of her son, "Kevin was a wonderful child, an overall generous and kind person. Computers, piano, French horn, running marathons, taking care of his siblings, and good friends to all were some of his passions in life." Captain Christ was posthumously awarded a Purple Heart, and his dedication and sacrifice to our country is why the Wisconsin Union takes part in the Gold Star Honor Roll. Kevin Michael Christ, class of 2001 at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You can learn more about this. Mr. Zomers has put it up on the screen for our streamers. You can also find it on our show page. Learn more about this project at uwgoldstaronorroll.org. The first part is all together, uwgoldstaronorroll, all together, .org, or org for short. Thank you for putting that, Mr. Zomers. Again, just, I mean, again, powerful stories and things that we don't think about enough, and appreciate all those who continue to serve, and appreciate in our thoughts and prayers the families of Wisconsin's Gold Star families. Come back and give you the interview from yesterday in its entirety with Jeremy Lyon of Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Hubbell Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. If you have loved ones with Alzheimer's, experts say communication skills are important if they start to feel overwhelmed at big summer gatherings.
Someone says, oh boy, I'm not feeling well. I got to go home. Okay, tell us what home means to you. What is it like at the home? Oh, you grew up on so-and-so Avenue. Tell us about that. Don't say, remember this, remember that.
Kristen Cusato is a spokesperson for the Alzheimer's Association. Experts recommend smaller get-togethers for people with dementia instead. The owners of the Mount Olympus Amusement Park in Wisconsin Dells say they have the tallest water slide in the world. It's called The Fall, and it's 145 feet high. It's one of five new water slides that open to the public this Memorial Day weekend. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The developers of a controversial housing project in Duluth have withdrawn after pushback from the neighborhood. According to a Northern News Now report, the Bald Eagle Estates housing development in the Hawk Ridge neighborhood was canceled after residents expressed concerns about the rezoning of the land that the project would have needed. The area is currently zoned for low-density residential, and the developers of the project would have needed it rezoned to residential planned for more flexibility. A suspect in a Friday morning Duluth assault that left an 81-year-old man with serious injuries has been arrested. According to the Duluth Police Department, officers responded to the 1600 block of Woodland Avenue just before 9 a.m. on Friday morning for reports of a man found in a bathroom with significant head injuries. The victim was taken to a local hospital, and a 43-year-old man was arrested in the Wallace Avenue and 7th Street area. Authorities do not know what caused the incident or if the men knew each other. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Morgan Spurlock, who lampooned the fast food industry with his documentary Super Size Me, has passed away. Yahoo Entertainment reports the Academy Award nominee died due to complications from cancer. Spurlock showed the effects that an all-fast food diet had on his body and mind. He was 53. Let's stick with gluttony. All great competitors should know when to step down. Such is the case with competitive eater Kobayashi, who claims in his career that he has eaten over 10,000 hot dogs. I actually thought that would be more. Kobayashi once consumed 50 hot dogs in 12 minutes, shattering the previous record of 25 1/8 hot dogs in the same amount of time. The athlete says after eating competitively, two words that should never be used together under any circumstances, for decades, he has no appetite. The moral of the story? If you cram as much food as you can into your pie hole for two decades, you'll eventually lose your appetite. And that's a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Yet again, another round of some scattered showers and some thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon and into the evening hours. Some could put down some pea-sized hail. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with highs in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 61.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, our special Memorial Day show here on this Memorial Day 2024. Glad you're along with us as we celebrate those who have fallen in the line of service and our veterans and military folks, but in particular on this Memorial Day, those who have fallen in service. We are joined at this special time by Jeremy Lyon. He serves as the administrator of the Division of Veterans Benefits, which includes the Bureau of Programs and Services, Bureau of Cemeteries and Memorial Services, and Bureau of Health Services as well. Jeremy, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking time on this Veterans Day, or pardon me, on this Memorial Day. I know you are a veteran, so thank you for your service first and foremost, but thanks for joining us on a solemn day of remembrance.
Well, thank you for having me, Todd, and happy Memorial Day to you.
Thanks. I appreciate you being here today. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Again, you have served in the United States Army. You have a decorated a resume here in front of me. Tell folks a little bit about why you decided to serve and about some of your military service, if you would.
Well, absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity. So I joined really out of a military family, as a lot of military service members do come from military families. And then, of course, a desire to serve and contribute to the community. So I came out, joined the Army back out of college back in Arkansas, 2007 timeframe. Was then assigned to the infantry, had an opportunity then to train with those forces and deploy as an infantry platoon leader to Iraq back in 2009 in the city of Mosul, at which point I came back to Wisconsin to go for higher education. This was my first time in Wisconsin. I loved it immediately. It became my forever home, and I've been here ever since. I had the opportunity to join the Wisconsin National Guard to continue service at that point. And then had one more deployment to Ukraine to help train some of their forces back in 2019. And so basically it's been an opportunity for me to continue service at this point. I joined the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs about 6 months ago, and it has been a wonderful experience for me, and the opportunity to just continue serving those who served and their families and loved ones has been a true honor.
And you're a graduate of UW Law School as well, I see, here in Madison. So you're a Badger as well.
I am a Badger, absolutely.
Well, I so appreciate you being in here and today on this special day. And I never served. Members of my family have. And I spent time in politics and government. And part of my assignment was working with military folks. And it gave me an opportunity up close to work with families who had lost loved ones in a couple of cases to make sure that remains were delivered back here to the family. It was powerful for me. And I think as someone who didn't serve this day, as someone who's had the opportunity and honor to go to Arlington National Cemetery, to be at some of Wisconsin's veteran cemeteries and to see services, it always reminds me that for all of us, including myself, the opportunities, the freedoms that we all enjoy on a daily basis are paid for with the lives of those buried in those cemeteries.
Absolutely. And Memorial Day really is an opportunity for all of us to unite around that message and to appreciate the sacrifices of those who've come before and the sacrifices we continue to make on our collective behalf through the military service. It is a powerful mission to commemorate and honor those who've made that sacrifice. And Memorial Day really is, with our cemetery teams out there, just making sure everything is to shrine standard, ready for the public to come and to share that appreciation and commemorate the sacrifices of hundreds of years of military service. So it really is something that should unite us all.
Talk to us a little bit, if you would, please, about what the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs does in terms of what are your responsibilities in working with local chapters when someone, whether it was a veteran who has passed away or whether it is someone who has fallen in active duty and that final service, what is the involvement of Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs?
So when a veteran passes, it is one of the important services we offer, of course, is the military funeral honors. And this is a whole of community effort. So the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs only plays a piece of this. You'll see contributions, of course, from the local cemeteries, from the national cemeteries, from our three state-run cemeteries as well, at Union Grove, King, and Spooner. Our role here is to help facilitate and, when necessary, to also provide those military honors. So when you imagine military honors, back in 2000, this was finally enshrined into law, what is a military honor for a funeral. And there are certain elements that are required. So the bugle playing taps, for example, the presentation of the folded flag, the honor guard, these are requirements for the military funeral honors. And coordinating that to make sure that when a veteran passes, we're able to provide that service at our cemeteries or any of the others is one of the crucial roles WDVA plays. So we do that through helping to coordinate actually getting the honor guard out or make sure we've got the bugler. We also provide stipends for the organizations, the local chapters you were referencing, American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, a number of partners in the area to include, you know, military units stationed around the area who are able to provide the personnel and the resources to ensure that when that veteran passes and that family has an opportunity to recognize and appreciate their sacrifice and service, that we as a nation and as a community and a state are also able to be there and provide those honors that they have earned.
One of the things, I'm a little older than you, and I can remember, I'm old enough to remember at 54, when I was in high school, and whether it was for Memorial Day or what have you, I remember World War One veterans being there, and certainly a lot of World War Two, and a lot of Korean veterans, and kind of the younger veterans of the time were the Vietnam veterans. Yeah. And now with so many of those folks having passed, and you know, the wars that we have fought, the conflicts we've been involved in since have been relatively smaller than World War II, thank goodness on that side. But do you see less veterans able to, you know, go and play the taps, go and be part of the honor guard? Is there a shortage of folks who can help out with these services now? And if so, what's the solution?
You've really tapped into something about the changing demography of veterans in the United States, and it's absolutely a very insightful point. Because really there were a lot more veterans coming out of World War II, out of Vietnam, when we had periods of draft and expanded service. And we are seeing a reduction per capita in veterans. So we are home in Wisconsin to a third of a million, about 330,000 veterans. That is a declining number over time, just because of the demography and the changes and as we age. The funeral honors program reflects that in a lot of ways. And I think I recently heard, you know, average age for some of our honor guard, mid-70s.
Wow.
Out there.
Wow.
And their continued service to be out there for all of these funerals and to personally contribute of themselves to the honor and memory of those veterans is truly powerful.
Yeah. And are you seeing, for lack of a better term, civilian folks stepping in some cases and helping out, particularly playing taps or things like that? Or is it still just veterans who are part of these honor guards right now?
Well, there is some requirements in the honor guards that they be military veterans or a certain proportion be military veterans. You have to have some from the component or from the branch of the service of the veteran who's passed. So while there certainly are opportunities for our civilian colleagues and friends to join and help honor, there are some of these that really do have to be military unit or veteran filling those roles. And it is inspiring to see some of our older veterans continue to provide that service. And it's an opportunity, again, to call to service those who have served, the younger veterans, to step forward as well and be part of that broad community. Because the story that you were highlighting, World War One veterans, World War II veterans, this is our national history. Mm-hmm. And this is our chance to be part of that larger national history. And commemorating these stories is a responsibility we all have to say thank you to those who sacrificed of themselves for our collective good. So it's a heavy mission and responsibility. There's an opportunity for everyone to commemorate and to honor veterans, volunteering at the cemeteries or working with the parades or any number of ways. There are probably as many ways to commemorate Memorial Day as there are Americans.
We're talking with Jeremy Lyon. He serves as the administrator of the Division of Veterans Benefits, which includes the Bureau of Programs and Services, Bureau of Cemeteries and Memorial Services, and Bureau of Health Services here for the state of Wisconsin on this Memorial Day. About 5 minutes left, Jeremy, in this segment. I want to talk a little bit about gold star families, because I think a lot of people drive around, they see, oh, there's this gold star in somebody's window. Tell folks what that means and what the Department of Veteran Services here in Wisconsin does in support of these gold star families.
Oh, absolutely. So a gold star family, the gold star is extremely significant and reflects a family tragedy. That is a family member who has passed in service and fallen in action for the military. And protecting, honoring, supporting our gold star families is one of the most important missions we can fulfill, because we honor the dead by honoring the living. Mm-hmm. And the families are also sacrificing on behalf of our nation, and their sacrifice cannot be forgotten or ignored. So what does the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs do? Well, we provide as much as we can in the forms of our veterans' benefits for dependents, for the spouses of the fallen, to ensure they have both a social security net, a emotional and community security net. We have any number of programs to help. So across the Wisconsin Chapter 45, our benefits, and across generally, you know, the entire Veterans Affairs enterprise, you'll see things like the property tax credit for surviving spouses. You'll see education benefits to ensure that their children can receive a college degree. These are just any number of the services that we provide for those who had family members fall in action.
I just think it's still powerful, because we've had opportunity and pleasure to have General David May on this program before, the Wisconsin Air National Guard.
Phenomenal leader.
He really is. And he's talked about the family tightness of Wisconsin's Air National Guard in particular. But have you found that in your time here at Wisconsin and now being involved through Department of Veterans Affairs, have you found this family atmosphere, so when a tragedy does strike, that there is a net there, a family net to help uplift and support those who carry on?
It absolutely there is. The family contribution to the entire effort can't be understated, really. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, it is the family that is helping to honor and lift up the veteran. For those who've returned from war with the visible or invisible wounds of that war, it is the family that is providing the strength and stability. And it is the military family, not related by blood, but related by shared sacrifice, mm-hmm. That is able to form that bond and that community, to talk through any of the experiences or traumas, and to help bring that person back into civilian life, mm-hmm. to bring them finally home from war, mm-hmm. mentally, if not also physically.
Yeah. A couple minutes left here. Talk briefly, if you would. Arlington National Cemetery gets a lot of publicity, as it should, but there are also Wisconsin veteran cemeteries here as well.
That's right, and thank you for raising that. We have three state-run cemeteries here, as referenced earlier, in King, Union Grove, and Spooner. These are administered through the state of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, but in partnership with and credentialed through the National Cemetery Administration, which is the same organization that manages Arlington. So you'll see the headstones, the layout. Our cemeteries are modeled on the same standards and guidelines as Arlington to ensure uniformity and to provide that shrine an opportunity to commemorate veterans and their sacrifices across the state. And they have Memorial Day events as well. So I would recommend anybody have the opportunity today, for instance, at Central. There's a Memorial Day ceremony. These are always wonderful, beautiful events, community supported, to see all of the flags at the headstones, to see the flag plaza on full display. It is a sobering and beautiful event.
I would just encourage personally anybody, even if you have not served, go and sit and meditate there for a moment, because whether it's in Wisconsin, a veteran cemetery, or in Arlington, it's been one of the most powerful experiences of my life. And it's not to oversell it, but transformative, because it really makes you think about what has been given so that we can go out and have picnics today on Memorial Day.
If you have the opportunity to go to Central and take one of those meditative moments, mm-hmm. you would be sitting among gravestones from the Civil War, the Vietnam War, recently fallen from Iraq and Afghanistan. It really is a piece of history to provide that opportunity again to see hundreds of years of sacrifice on our collective behalf and to be thankful for what they've done.
Jeremy Lyon, 30 seconds. Final thoughts from you on this Memorial Day 2024?
I hope everyone has a safe and wonderful Memorial Day. Please do, if you have a chance, take that moment to remember and reflect on the sacrifices made on our collective behalf by our military forces. But ultimately, we all approach Memorial Day in our same way, so keep it safe. And thank you all.
Jeremy Lyon serves as the administrator for the Division of Veterans Benefits, including the Bureau of Programs and Services, Bureau of Cemeteries, Memorial Services, and Bureau of Health Services. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for your service. And we'd love to have you back on the show soon.
Thank you, Todd. It's really a pleasure.
We'll be back with more on the special Memorial Day edition of the Todd Oliveball Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, let's tackle a big question in a short amount of time. How much money do you need to save for retirement? It's not the same for everybody. If you think 10 times your annual pre-retirement income, that's in the right ballpark. But what is pre-retirement income? And how do I save that much money? Okay, don't stress about the big number. The simplest and most effective way I know is to save about 15% of your income each year. If you're starting later in life, like in your 40s, you probably have to save more than that 15%. But the bottom line is, start saving now, as much as you can, and put it in retirement accounts where it can grow. Some savings is always better than none. Now, there's an awful lot more to say about this topic, which I did over on my YouTube channel. You can check it out if you want to dive in deeper. Search for Work Money Media on YouTube. Till then, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Todd Oliveball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from National News Network, our state news with our very own Terry Bell and the Civic Media News team. A check of sports with our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. What a game last night. Milwaukee Brewers, big win over the hated and dreaded Chicago Cubs, and then a check of weather as well. So all kinds of things coming up, and then we'll have the Maggie Dawn show after that. Maggie Dawn every afternoon, 2 until 4 right here.
Speaking of that Brewers game yesterday, another moment that was very interesting.
There were several. You were there.
I was there. The Memorial Day, like the veterans they had on to sing the national anthem, mm-hmm. and what was the other one? Other patriotic songs, and a current like Navy or Coast Guard, I'm not sure which, I don't remember. I guess service man,
like an
service
honor,
person,
honor guard.
Yeah, came up and threw a ceremonial first pitch and then proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, really? That's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's awesome.
It was pretty cool.
That's amazing. And I know the Brewers, I left mine on my desk here in the office, but I know the Brewers had emblazoned or a patch on their uniform, the poppy yesterday. So
yes.
a lot of folks, I bought mine on the way back to Richland Center. I stopped at the Car Valley Cheese Factory in the one in Mesa Mady on Highway 14, got some fresh cheese curds, and they were selling Memorial Day veteran poppies made by veterans, and then all the proceeds go to veterans organizations. So I know the Brewers were honoring our veterans on Memorial Day with that poppy on their shirt. So really thank Jeremy Lyon from Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs for coming in. Great interview there. We replayed that. We had recorded it for tomorrow. That's why it sounded like it was
for yesterday.
All right, yes, thank you for yesterday. That's why it sounded like it was, because it was meant for tomorrow. We had a couple of snafus on the technical side, so we decided to run it again today because I just thought that Jeremy did an outstanding job and gave us some really, really important information, particularly for our Gold Star families. And look, it's one of those things where certainly it's great and appropriate to set aside Memorial Day to remember all of those folks, but it's really something that we should hold within us and think about throughout the year, not just a Memorial Day.
It's not just one day that we had people die for our rights.
Right. No, absolutely. So thank you to Jeremy Lyon. We'll have him back again, talking a little bit about what's happening at Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Mr. Zomers, who do you have for your cell phone provider?
I have, what do I have? I have Cellcom.
Cellcom.
Which is a more local Wisconsin one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's a little bit more common, I think, the more north you go.
Since I'm from Manitowoc, it's more common in that area. And I get great service up north in the woods.
Do you really? Well, that's important. So Todd has U.S. Cellular. I've had it. I've never had another carrier. And I'm trying to think where I believe I got my first cell phone. It was kind of early in terms of, well, at least it was in my opinion. I think I got my first cell phone in 1994 because I was working on a political campaign. So I didn't have to pay for it back when it was pretty expensive. The campaign paid for it. And then I kind of got to have one moving forward. But I've had a cell phone for quite a while, always been U.S. Cellular. And by and large, but I've explored over the years going with like Verizon or other places. And kind of what you were talking about, for me, I'm particularly a lot of the time in Madison and Southwest Wisconsin. And I have found that U.S. Cellular has the best overall service in Southwest Wisconsin in the Driftless, all the hills. They've put up kind of their own independent towers over the years. Well, here now, news today breaking across the wires that T-Mobile has acquired most of U.S. Cellular in a $4.4 billion deal. So, and look, I don't mean to bag on anybody here, but having friends over the years that had like T-Mobile or AT&T or Verizon, other services, in Madison, we go out and visit, you know, the home area in the Driftless in Southwest Wisconsin. We get about 10, 15 miles outside of Madison. I have no cell service. I'm like, yep, you don't. Because AT&T, although I think they're getting a little bit better in T-Mobile, they don't have their own towers and aren't set up for rural Wisconsin. And here now, T-Mobile to acquire U.S. Cellular. And they're trying to paint this as good news for U.S. Cellular customers, which I guess I'm going to keep my powder dry and we'll wait and see. But here's the story, courtesy of CNBC, at least a quick version of it. Shares of U.S. Cellular popped by 6% this morning after T-Mobile announced that its plan to acquire most of the company, including the wireless operator stores, some of its spectrum assets, and its customers in a deal worth $4.4 billion. Here's a little factoid you may not know, hitherto unknown fact, as my former teacher Ken Lewis likes to say. When you go to Spectrum, for those of you who do, and decide to get a mobile service device, Spectrum doesn't actually own any towers, to my knowledge. They just piggyback off of other people. They have rental agreements, basically.
Right. That's how a lot of companies do it.
Yeah. And so U.S. Cellular actually kind of controlled a lot of the Spectrum mobile service, quote unquote. Back to the story, the deal for T-Mobile to acquire U.S. Cellular includes cash up to $2 billion of debt, according to a press release from T-Mobile. Up to $100 million of the deal depends on certain financial operating metrics to be met between the signing and the closing. It's expected to kind of completely take effect sometime next year. So T-Mobile is going to acquire about 30% of U.S. Cellular's wireless spectrum as part of the deal and plans to use that to improve coverage in rural areas while offering better connectivity to U.S. Cellular customers around the United States, according to the companies. The company said it will allow U.S. Cellular customers to keep their current plans or switch to a T-Mobile plan. So if you are like Todd, a current customer of U.S. Cellular, we're being told we can keep our current plans or switch to a T-Mobile mobile plan. They're saying this is going to create lower prices. We'll see.
as far as I'm aware, anytime we get closer to a monopoly, prices usually don't go down.
Usually not. But I'll keep my powder dry.
Right.
We will see. But there is a little bit of news you can use to round out the show on a Tuesday, May 28th, 2024. Many thanks to Luke Mathers for being with us for Tuesday's Tangents. Also with thanks to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs for being our guest today. And Mr. Zomers, as always, an outstanding job on the board. And most of all, to all of you, the listeners, for tuning in. We appreciate you so very much. Back tomorrow with Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kreitlow. Don't miss it. For now, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, this is Todd Albaugh reminding you, keep banging your drum.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll get organized with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.